Find Romans chapter 8 this morning in your Bible or your Bible app. I am still old school. I have the ability to text, and I have a Snapchat account. I have three people in my Snapchat account, my wife and both of my children. I have a Twitter account. I have like 11 followers. Most of all of them are family. I like technology. But if you want to communicate with me, I'd much prefer you pick up the phone and give me a call. I like talking on the phone. I get so much more out of that. I can hear inflection in your voice. It's personal. I just like that. I much prefer being called. If you call me and don't leave me a voice message, my assumption is that since you didn't care enough to talk to the phone and leave me a voice message, whatever you're calling about is not important, either that or you just hiney dialed me. If you leave me a voice message, I know there's an urgency to why you called. I like talking on the phone. I do. I think you can cover more ground and there's less chance for confusion if you have that opportunity. Unfortunately, that's not a culture in which we live in today. Everything's done in 140 characters or less typically. And we lose so much by not taking the time to call or to interact personally with each other. Which got me thinking, what would happen if you got a phone call from God? I know what would happen. You wouldn't answer. You just let it roll over to voicemail. And if he left a message, then you might listen to it. If not, probably wasn't worth listening to. But I need you to understand this morning and for the next several weeks that God has called you. No, he didn't call you on your phone or on an electronic device. But he called you in your person. He called you in your spirit. He called you in your character. You see, when you made that conscious decision at some point in your life to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, there was a call to answer his son for salvation, but with the acceptance of his son for salvation, there was also a call to fulfill his purpose for you. You're not an accident. You've been called. And that call is a personal call. Several weeks ago, I used Romans 8:28 in one of the sermons that I preached, and I parked on it just a little while and kind of highlighted two things out of Romans 8:28. We like the verse, we know it, we can probably all quote it. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." You need to realize this morning and over the next several weeks that if you are a believer, if you have been called by God to receive His Son, then you have also been called to live out His purpose for your life. I want you to know what I'm going to talk about for this week and the weeks to come is not new. A lot of it has been written in a book that several of us worked together years ago called Purpose Driven Life. And if you've not read the book, you need to. And if you don't have access to a book, see me. I probably have some extras in my cabinet somewhere. But the thrust of that whole thing is that you were created by God on purpose. There's a purpose for you being here. And that's your call in this life. It's different from your career, though sometimes they parallel nicely. A lot of times they don't. But you have a purpose. If you look further down in Romans chapter 8, in verse 30... you see, Paul tells the church at Rome this, "And having chosen them," or having called them to his son, right? "He then called them to come to him, and having called them, he gave them right standing of himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them glory." And what were they to do with that? They were to fulfill their purpose with that. The Greek word here is either the word kaleo or a derivative of that root. It's used over 100 times in the New Testament. And that word is used to talk about your life's assignment. It's the word calling, and it talks about your mission. It talks about your purpose, who you are supposed to be. The reason God created you, it's your calling. It's who you are in Christ. It's what you are meant to do for Christ. It's who you are meant to be in Christ. Paul, when he talks to the church at Ephesus about the subject, he says, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know." What does he want you to know? He wants you to know the hope to which He has called you. That hope is Christ, yes, but that hope is also your purpose. He goes on, the riches of His in glory is glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparable great power for us who believe. It's for those of us who are in Christ. That power is like the working of His mighty strength. You've been called not only to a relationship with Jesus Christ, but you've been called to a purpose. You've been called to a calling. So what are the truths about being called by God? Well, the first truth, truth number one, is that God's call to you is a gift. It is something that accompanies your salvation. Salvation is a gift, but with that salvation comes another gift. And that is the gift of being called. When Paul's writing to his young preacher friend Timothy, he tells him in 2 Timothy verse 1, verse 9, "For God saved us." There's the salvation component. "And called us." What have you been called to? You've been called to a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but He did it that because it was His plan from before the beginning of time to show His grace through Christ Jesus. So not only is God's salvation to you a gift from God, you don't earn, you don't deserve, you don't work for, you don't bargain for, it's just flat out part of God's grace. Your calling is exactly the same. It is His present to you. It is how you are shaped. We'll talk about that here in a minute. God's call on your life is a gift. And you need to understand that there is a twofold component to this. When we set up the baptismal pool and I bring somebody in the water to baptize them, I ask them in your presence two questions. Question number one, is it your testimony by standing in this water today that you have made a conscious decision to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ? I know they're going to tell me yes because we've already talked about it in the office or in a previous encounter. The second question I ask them is something along these lines. Is it also your testimony today that as best you know how, you are going to live the rest of your life to fulfill your calling in Christ Jesus? Again, we've already talked about it. They've already said yes. The reason I ask those two questions is because it's not just about being saved and then forgetting about that. It's not just fire insurance. It's not just I'm going to get my spiritual house in order and then go out and live like however I want to live for the rest of my life. It's about making sure that you understand that from that moment you make a choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, there is now an expectation on your life to live and to fulfill your called purpose. It's a part of the gift package that comes to you. A third component of that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And all these things are intertwined. All of these things are connected. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Truth number two, God's call assures that my life has purpose. Not your purpose, God's purpose. The very first line, the very first sentence in Rick Warren's book, A Purpose-Driven Life, is this. It's not about you. The first sentence in his book. You and I are called for God's plan. God didn't make you for you. He didn't make me for me. And therein lies the great struggle, does it not? We were made by God. We were made for God. We were made for His kingdom. Until we understand that, our life's not going to make sense. We're going to get frustrated. And we're going to have all kinds of spiritual difficulties because we don't understand that we're not living for God's purpose through our life. We've been called, and that call is unique. We call it shape. S-H-A-P-E. You have one, I have one. I'm not talking about round. I'm just talking about how you've been designed in God's spiritual nature. S stands for spiritual giftedness. Your spiritual giftedness comes from the Holy Spirit who is implanted in you at the moment you receive Christ. It's where Christ imputes His righteousness into you with the presence of His Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, He brings a gift of service of some kind for you to fulfill your purpose in the kingdom. The Spirit and the spiritual gift determines your call and how that manifests itself. The H stands for heart. It stands for your passion. It stands for that which you love. I'm not talking about your spouse or your children. I'm talking about important work that you feel passionate about that makes a difference in the world in which you live. You have an A, which is abilities. Sometimes your abilities are used to fulfill your career, but those abilities can also be used to enhance the kingdom of God through the work of the church. Just because you use your abilities in the secular field doesn't mean you can't also employ them in the religious field. The Lord needs all kinds of people. And some of you have abilities that you don't even consider abilities. Anything you do can typically be employed in the kingdom service, but we often think that they're beneath us. The people that work so hard to keep our buildings clean and to keep our grass cut are exercising their spiritual gifts and their abilities in the area of service, but they're tired and they're hurting, and some of them have medical conditions that prevent them from serving in the capacity that they would want to serve, and they would really appreciate your help. But for some reason, we think that it's beneath us to clean the restrooms or mow the grass or power wash the building. We have all kinds of abilities that can be employed in kingdom service. We all have them. They're all things that we can do. The P stands for your personality type. We've all got one. Some of them are more endearing than others. And you don't want to typically stick a type A alpha male in with the preschoolers. Usually doesn't go well for either party. But you find the nurturers and you put them there. Your personality goes a long way in determining what your purpose is in the kingdom of God. And the E is one of the most powerful pieces of the puzzle, but it's also the one that we stay the most confused about, and that is our life's experiences. Some of you have a laundry list of a life that has been blessed. No hardship, no struggle, everything's just been one glorious thing after another. Those experiences are valuable in kingdom work. People need to hear from those that have had those kind of blessed lives. Some of you have a laundry list that's just the opposite. Your life has been a train wreck from the day you came into this world. It's been one sadness, one setback, one heartache after another. You need to understand that God doesn't waste any of that, and that those experiences are also important for kingdom work. Because there are people out there that are going through what you have gone through, and they need your spiritual guidance, wisdom, and expertise. They need your spiritual friendship to walk them through that. Most of us are a hodgepodge of somewhere in between, both good and bad. Paul tells the church in Ephesus again, "For we are God's masterpiece." Whose masterpiece? God's. I don't want to be cliche, but God don't create junk, right? Doesn't matter how messed up things have been in your life, you are not an accident. And the things in your life aren't an accident. You say, well, yeah, they are, because I caused all of them. Go back to Romans. It may be true, you may have caused them. But God is still big enough and powerful enough to work things out for your good and for the kingdom good of His kingdom, if you will simply fall in love with Him all over again and determine that you're going to live out your purpose. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So what? So we can do good things He planned for us long ago. His plan for your life is to do good things. He didn't put you on this planet to just breathe and take up space. He didn't put you here simply to be a consumer. You were to be a contributor. Make contributions with your life. Make spiritual, Bible-based contributions with your life. It's called good works. It's part of your calling. There's a third truth here. And Paul kind of alludes to it in the Ephesians 2 passage. And that is, God calls us, and because He calls us, you and I need to rest assured that that call was issued even before we were born. It was issued before we were born. Paul tells us that in the New Testament. Jeremiah tells us that in the Old Testament. Paul says, even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news. You see that? I got saved. I proclaim the good news. The gift of salvation, the gift of my calling. I love the way he ends that, and I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. He said, I did not rush out and consult with any human being. Paul said, I didn't have to just sit around and wait for somebody to tell me what my purpose was. I went out and I did it. The prophet Jeremiah, the Lord reminds him, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. I called you into my redemptive plan, but then I made you a part of that plan by telling you that you were going to be a prophet. We all have a call in our life. God called you before you were born. You are uniquely shaped. You say, I've got all kinds of flaws. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. You should never underestimate what God can do with your life. You should never underestimate what God can do with your life. What he needs is a willing participant. You've probably seen this guy's story. I can't pronounce his last name. His name is Nick Vujicic, or Vujicic. I can't ever say it right. But he was born with no arms and no legs, and he's got a little stub of a foot that he calls his chicken wing. But I want you to watch his story. I want you to watch his testimony. I want you to see what God can do with not only a life that his body is physically messed up, but even what he can do when you're hopeless to the point of complete desperation and exasperation, how God can help you find purpose. Watch Nick's story.
You know, I think a lot of people are waiting on God to change a circumstance to really be truly content in the Lord Jesus. But if you're not truly content in what Jesus has already done for you, you do not know what he's really done for you. And that has set me free. And that has given me a platform to believe in miracles, but at the same time, not have to wait for miracles to happen before my joy in Jesus is true and full. Growing up in church, you know, every Sunday, singing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, to believe that God loves us requires a lot of faith. Because I had a lot of questions. If God loved me, then why did he let me be born this way? If God can do all miracles and anything that I ask, he can do it, then why doesn't he give me arms and legs when I ask him to relieve me of my pain? I wanted to know the answer. I actually felt that God, for some reason, wasn't listening. For some reason, didn't answer my prayer. And I was starting to think that he wasn't real. What was so, really difficult to get through were the years between ages 8 and 12. I was actually the first special needs child to be integrated into a mainstream school. Being the only one with no arms and no legs, of course, and in a wheelchair, I had a lot of unwanted attention, feeling depressed, feeling alone. And at age 10, I actually tried to commit suicide by drowning myself in 6 inches of water in my family bathtub. After a whole day of being bullied and teased, I just didn't want to live anymore. By the grace of God, on the third time I rolled over in my family bathtub, I saw my mum and my dad crying at my grave. I saw that pain that I would leave behind, and I decided to stay. But I went through depression because no one could heal my heart. No money, no amount of friends, no amount of education or things that I quote-unquote needed to get through my daily life. It just couldn't heal my heart. Finally, at age 15, God answered my prayer. It was when I read John chapter 9. A man was born blind, born with a disability that no one could actually explain. And that sort of sounded familiar to me. People asked Jesus, why was this man born blind? And Jesus said it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. And faith came over me. Hearing of the word produces faith. It is a gift. It is not a focus that you can muster up inside. It is a gift given from God when you hear the promises through His word. And that changed my life. He healed my heart, and now I can be an instrument in His hand to let people know, as a miracle, seeing His strength perfected in my weakness that would have otherwise been not as powerful. It's more powerful seeing a man without arms and legs smiling than someone who got their miracle. What about for the people who didn't get their miracle? And for anyone who's watching right now who thinks that God doesn't have a purpose and what can God ever do with me? Well, look what God did with me. If God can use a man without arms and legs to be His hands and feet, there is not one person watching this program where God can't use their broken pieces too.
Now I want to quote Romans 8:28, where it says, "All things come together for the good for those who love Him." You know, I thought that the greatest burden in my life was my circumstance. It is not. The greatest burden in your life is not your circumstance. The greatest burden in your life is you not being able to see your life clearly through God's eyes. Knowing that He knows that He's going to be with you and He's going to pull you through. That all things come together for the good. Even the worst part of your life up to this point, God is so big, so mighty, so gracious that He can turn it into some good.
If I was born without arms and legs and God did not give me arms and legs miraculously for one soul, bring it on.
He's learned to swim. He's been married. He's got a family. And he shared the gospel with more people than you and I will probably ever encounter in our lifetime. Why? Because before he was born, God had a plan for Nick. God had a purpose for Nick. God called Nick. And when Nick finally got on God's team, and when Nick decided to live for that calling, he's made a huge difference wherever he's gone. He can make a difference through you too. He just wants you to decide to be on the team. Here's the fourth truth, and this one's important. They're all important, but I want you to hear this one. God's call is not altered by my sinfulness. God's call is not altered by my sinfulness. Trying to commit suicide, I would consider sinfulness. You can bend God's call in your life. You can tarnish it. You can delay it. You can divert it. You can destroy yourself avoiding it, but you can't alter it. It's eventually going to come back into shape. Romans 11:29 is a passage that I have heard used to talk about salvation and how we are not ever able to lose our salvation. Romans 11:29 says, "For God's gifts and His call are irrevocable." Now, I believe with all of my heart that once you've made that decision, that conscious decision to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, that that's never going to go away. He's not going to back out on His covenant promise to you. But I don't think this verse backs that up, because this verse talks about God's gifts and His call. His gifts and His call are irrevocable. Not only the gift of salvation, but the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life and the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings for us to employ in this life. This verse is talking about our purpose. God's gifts in your life and His call on your life are irrevocable. Doesn't matter how far away from Him you try to wander. Like I said, you can bend it, you can tarnish it, you can divert it, you can break yourself on it by not following through with it, but it doesn't change His call. It doesn't change His call for your life. Let me give you an example. Remember John chapter 21? Jesus has been crucified. He's been resurrected. In John chapter 21, the fishermen, Peter in particular, in the lead, looked at the rest of them and said, look, guys, I'm done with all this. I'm going back to doing what I've always done before. I'm going back to being a fisherman. And he goes out and he starts fishing. When he comes back in that morning, he finds a man on the beach who has fixed breakfast. And the disciples, the scripture tells us, recognize that it's Jesus, but they don't want to ask to be sure. Jesus invites them over and says, hey, dudes, come over and have some breakfast with me. Isn't it just like Jesus to feed you? And so they come in and they have breakfast with Jesus. And when they're done eating breakfast, Jesus looks at Peter and he says, hey, Pete, you love me? Now, Peter's denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. Peter's like, yeah, I love you. And Jesus is like, no, Peter, I don't think you're hearing my question. Do you love me? And Peter's like, yeah, sure, I love you. I know I denied you and stuff, and it doesn't look like I love you, but yeah, deep down I really love you. Jesus is like, no, come on. Think about this, Peter. Do you really love me? And Peter all of a sudden has this revelation in his mind and in his heart, and he understands, I'm being restored. And he says, yes, Lord, I love you. And then Jesus says, get back to your purpose. Get back to the very reason I called you in the first place. Feed the sheep. You see, Peter's sin didn't break the irrevocable call of God in his life. God restored him. And he said, Peter, get back to doing what I called you to do in the first place. Only you can find out what God's called you to do. So find out what your purpose is. How do I do that? Ask. Know what your shape is. If you're not sure about your shape, call me. Come sit down with me. In about an hour, I can walk you through it. Show you exactly what your shape is. And that'll help put you on the track to figure out how you live and fulfill the purpose that God has called you to. Your life and mine are never going to be or feel like we're in the right place until we understand that we've been called for a spiritual purpose. My challenge to you for the next several weeks is to work at discovering that purpose and then begin to employ that in your everyday life. You'll be glad you did, and the kingdom will be better for it.